The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And thank you, Mary Beth, for that special treat to remember Paul and Jean as they leave this community today, for all that you've meant and for your woodworking and your community today. Know that when you go with the love of this community and in the grace of God. Welcome to all who are here, and a special welcome to all who are joining us online. It is good that we are together here this morning, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. Let us begin this morning with the words in your bulletin. Alleluia, come Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, come.
I invite you now to stand if you are able, knowing that if you are not able, the church stands with and for you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who greets us in this and every season, whose word never fails, whose promise is true. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God, of our neighbors. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned, we have hurt our community, we have squandered our blessings, we have hoarded your bounty. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
Righteous God, we confess that we have sinned, we have failed to be honest, we have lacked the courage to speak, we have spoken falsely. In the name of Jesus, forgive us and grant us your mercy.
God is a cup of cold water when we thirst. God offers boundless grace when we fail. Claim this gift of God's mercy. You are freed and forgiven in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Praise the Lord, the Almighty.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are the source of life and the ground of our being.
By the power of your Spirit,
bring healing to this wounded world
and raise us to the new life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
And it's that point in the service where I invite our children to come forward, but I know there's no children with us today. They're on vacation. It's summer. There are other things, so you all are now children. And I was going to make sure I'm in the camera view. I was going to play a little game. I like to play this game sometimes with the children. And it's a rendition of I Spot with My Little Eye. But the question to you all is, what is different in our sanctuary today?
Green.
It's green. Green, 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 and an extra green. And I'd like to share some of our history and tradition with the children so they understand what this green is. So we're now in this green season of the church, and we're going to be green now all the way till Advent. So that's a long time to be in green. So what does that green mean? That's what I want to convey. So what does green mean to you all?
Money.
Money. I heard growth, spring, summer,
life.
I hear life, yeah. And so if I had a plant, I forgot to bring my, I have an olive tree that Jen gave me when I started the ministry as a sign of this growth. And so I was going to bring out and introduce Bob, the olive tree, to me. And we know Bob's healthy because the leaves are green, right? And I know this is somewhat of a challenge for us in the Pacific Northwest, where we are surrounded year-long by green. So use some imagination and remember that in most parts of the world, green doesn't occur in nature except for one specific season. That in the Mediterranean world, you mostly had browns and grays, and every once in a while, once a year, you would have green. And this green represents, as we said, life and growth. And we just had this Pentecost Sunday a few weeks ago, and with the Spirit coming, and now we're in a season with the Spirit here that we are praying and asking God to help us grow in knowledge, in love of God. And so that is what the green means. And with that, let us pray. On count of three, we'll bring our hands together in the sign of prayer. One, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Help us grow.
Help us grow.
Help us love.
Help us love.
Help us know.
Help us know.
Amen.
first reading, the second Sunday of Pentecost, is written in Hosea chapter 5. Now hear the word. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face. In their distress, they will beg my favor. Come, let us return to the Lord, for it is he who has torn, and he will heal us. He has struck down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us press on to know the Lord. His appearing is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the showers, like the spring rains that water the earth. What shall I do to you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judea? Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early. Therefore, I have hewn them by my prophets. I have killed them by the words of my mouth. And my judgment goes forth as the light. I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 50. If you would respond in the dark print, I will read the light print. Listen, my people, and I will speak. Israel, I will bear witness against you, for I am God, your God.
I do not accuse you because of your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are always before me.
I will not accept a calf from your stalls, nor goats from your pens.
For all the wild animals of the forest are mine, the cattle on a thousand hills.
I know every bird of the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine.
If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the whole world is mine, and all that is in it.
Do you think I eat flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats?
Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and make your vows to the Most High.
Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall honor me. And our second reading this morning is written in Romans chapter 4. Now hear the word. The promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. Nor when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distress made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words, "it was reckoned to him," were written not for his sake alone, but also for ours. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of our Lord according to Matthew, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and he followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciple, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." And while he was saying these things to them, suddenly, a leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died. But come and lay your hands on her and save her." And Jesus got up and followed him. Then suddenly, a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages, who had been suffering for 12 years, came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter. Your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and he saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. When the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout the district. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
When I started my career with the Department of Corrections, one of my first assignments was to work in the Special Offenders Unit. And that is the prison in the state of Washington that houses all the seriously mentally ill prisoners. So if you want to understand what it was like to work there, think mental hospital, think prison, combine the two. And that's what it was like. And prison is a very structured society and culture. And as a new officer, you're trained and trained and trained about boundaries and structures and things you cannot do and conversations you cannot have, and you keep this boundary. And they were mentally ill, so that was another layer of boundary. Another layer of separation from staff to the population. There were, of course, prisoners, and yet also there were mentally ill, the second layer of separation. And as I began to work there, I met the day shift lieutenant there, the most senior lieutenant in the entirety of the state of Washington. And I will tell you, no one, and I mean no one, and I mean no one, could talk to one of these incarcerated people, calm them, communicate with them better than this man. No trained psychologist that we had could do better than him. His word was gold. His word was trusted. If he said something, the population believed it. They might not agree with them, but if he said so, it was so. I had not yet known this about him when I started there that day. But as I stood for my first main line, and main line is that prison word for the meal time, because everything occurs in lines. You have pill line, work line, school line, and now this is main line. The first main time of the day when everyone will be in this long line going into the cafeteria, and I see that Barry's already getting nervous from memories. No, just joking. But mainline itself is the most tense moment of the prison's day, because that is the time when everyone is there, small spot space. If you have a grudge with someone else, you are bound to run into them at mainline. So on the best of days, it's tense. And on the worst of days, it can be a nightmare. And here I was, standing there, trying to keep my boundaries, my proper place, and in walked this lieutenant. And for a shock and a scandal, he stood in line, went and got a tray, took the tray, and then sat down with whatever table was available and ate his meal there in this cafeteria with the population. It was a shock for such a clear boundary violation. It was a shock because the food at this prison, and prisons are notoriously bad with their food, was not even made here. It was made at another unit, shipped a day prior here to be reheated and served. So when you think of quality of food, go down a notch. This was the worst possible prison food in the entirety of the state. And he, for every meal, would do this. And it took me a little bit to realize that his miraculous ability to de-escalate any situation, to talk to any individual, was not so much that he was a gifted and talented communicator, even though he was that. But the trust he had with the population was forged in these meal moments at mainline. His miracle of de-escalation was actually the miracle of a meal. The meal was the miracle. And my friends, today in our gospel reading, that is the point of our gospel reading. I know it's easy to lose track of that because we have an eating story, and then we have a healing story within a healing story. And if we look at the full chapter, there's a healing story before the meal. So we might think, what? This meal is out of place. But I'm challenging you today to think that the meal is the miraculous healing part of the story. So we have three healing stories today. And one of those healing stories occurs at the table. Jesus himself says, when confronted by the Pharisees on why he is doing that, says, the sick do not need a physician. The well do not need a physician, the sick do. He's connecting himself with this meal, this concept of healing. And if you are wondering how a meal can be healing, just think of that time in your life when you were excluded from the outside, some part where you didn't belong. And finally, someone came along and welcomed you into the group, told you that you were loved, told you that you belonged. And in that moment, did you not feel healing? You felt whole because someone welcomed you in. And that is what Jesus is doing here, is welcoming this group who are the outsiders in. And that encounter brings healing. And when you change the boundary of a community, when you add, when you subtract, when you bring in, culturally, it is appropriate to have a meal. And we continue this even in modern day America. If you think at a wedding and at a funeral, we always eat. Because the boundary of that community has changed. And we have that memory of this tradition. And so there is this meal. But friends, the meal is the miracle. The meal is the healing. So if we understand that what we have today are three healing stories, that we can see a few other connections. In all three of these stories, the people who are healed are people who are outside. We have, of course, the tax collectors and sinners. We have a woman who has a blood issue, and people with blood would be considered ritually unclean. They would be excluded from being able to enter the temple. So this poor woman for 12 years was constantly on the outside, constantly being told that she did not belong, constantly excluded. And of course, this poor dead girl, through her death, automatically you see how that excludes from the community. She's no longer a part. So all three of these groups do not have a place within the religious community at the time. And there's one other final point on that I will make, is that the religious time of Jesus, and I think this carries over into modern day America as well, we have the sense that those who are outside, those who are excluded, are somehow contagious. That if we are around them, we will get their outsideness into us. And in Jesus' day, this was really serious. Ritual impurity was transmitted through contact. If you were ritually pure, meaning you could enter the temple, if you came in contact with something that was impure, you would then have to purify yourself once again before you go into temple. And each one of our group here were ritually unclean. The tax collectors and sinners, you would not want to hang around because they would make you ritually unclean. Any contact with blood would do the same. And the chief daddy of all ritual uncleanliness was a dead body. And to each of these groups, Jesus comes. He eats with the tax collectors. He is touched by this woman, and he touches a dead body. As if Jesus is saying, screaming at us, that my purity is stronger than your impurity. My righteousness stronger than whatever contagion you might have. And there Jesus takes what is ours into himself. Takes what separates us from God. Takes all the cultural and religious things that would make us outsiders. Takes all of that into himself. And all of that will go to the cross with Jesus. And when he suffers and dies, everything that may separate us from the love of God is also destroyed, so that we may rise in newness of life. And Jesus' purity is more pure than our impurity. And so an exchange occurs. Jesus takes all that is ours and then exchanges it with all that is his. So we get to be united with God. We get to be righteous. We get all that is Jesus, the love, the purity, the connection, the belonging of God. And when a community changes the dynamics, they have a meal. And that brings us back to the miracle of a meal. And this time I am not referring to the meal that Jesus had with Matthew, but the meal that we are going to have in just a little bit. Because this is the meal that says you belong. You are forgiven. You are set free. You are loved. And you are now formed into a new creation in God through Jesus. And I invite you all to come to this meal, knowing that we eat with God as a new body. You may reach out and touch God in this meal, and God will reach out and touch you. For we are now set free. We are loved, and we are told that we belong now to God because of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
There's no high better sin, God's word or sin.
Now I'd like to invite Jean and Paul forward. Don't start crying, because then everyone will start crying. No, tears are more than wonderful here, and welcome to this space. Keep the camera ready and get the screen to my joy.
What for me?
Jean and Paul, it's been my pleasure to get to know the two of you. I know everyone has much longer memories than I have of you and stories, but you've always been warm and welcoming. You have been part of this community. You have built our side altar. You have been on every step of this journey with me, and I am grateful for the times we've spent together, our practices, our discussions. And if anyone else want to shout out a funny memory or something that you really appreciated about them, this would be the spot.
Made flutes.
His golf. It gave us the laugh. And me, because I couldn't play either.
Gene had a part in many of the banners.
And we thank you for all of that. And we want to hold this time sacred. Oh, I'm sorry, Gary, did you have something?
Well, I just lived a couple blocks away from these guys. So I was always bothering them with all my problems. And I just love them to death. My brothers and sisters. Thank you.
And so we wish to send you off in the grace of God. And we have a reading for you from Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, who created you? O Jacob, who formed you? O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. In holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of the church. And when you came to this congregation, we rejoiced to welcome you into the mission we share as the people of God. Within this community, you have come to know and to share in God's loving purpose for you, for us, and for all of creation. God has blessed you in this community. And God has blessed us through you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the work and witnesses of your servants, Jean and Paul, who have enriched this congregation and shared the gifts with friends. Now bless and preserve them at this time of transition. Day by day, guide them and give them what is needed. Friends to cheer them along the way, and a clear vision of that to which you are now calling them. By your Holy Spirit, be present in their pilgrimage, that they may travel with the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And before you go, we have, of course, our prayer shawls, and we'd like to give you each one. I told Paul that yours is blue, and yours is white. No trading allowed.
You can trade.
But if we can all extend your hand out as a blessing, and we will pray over these shawls that whenever you think of us, you may wrap yourself in these, knowing that you are covered by these, the love of this community. So, dear gracious God, bless these shawls. May they be a constant reminder of the love that this community has for them. Amen.
Amen.
And finally, we have our trio to send you off.
Trusting in God's abundant mercy, let us offer our prayers for a world in need. We pray, O God, for the church. Unite us with any on the margins, that the whole world recognizes that your mercy is greater than our human capacity to restrict it. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, O God, for creation. Tend forests and fields and safeguard all cattle, birds, and wild animals. Preserve lakes, rivers, and oceans, and send rains to water the earth. Revive lands recovering from natural disasters. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, O God, for the nations. Awaken our leaders' compassion for people who have too often felt forgotten or neglected, and inspire policy solutions that promote equity and inclusion. God, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray, O God, for all who are in need. Accompany anyone enduring chronic illness, any who suffer in secret, and those grieving a loved one's death. Send healing for all who plead for relief from sickness or pain, especially Aaron, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Clifford, Madeline, Ara, Penelope, Twyla, Karen, Joe, Colin, the family of Elsie Hermanson, the victims of the war in Ukraine, victims of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and for the people of Furlong Lutheran Church and St. Timothy Church. Go God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray, O God, for the eradication of racial hatred. On this week, when we commemorate the Emmanuel Nine, we implore you to cast out the demons of white supremacy that make us believe lies about ourselves and our neighbors. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We give thanks, O God, for Barnabas and all the saints. Renew our faith that you can do what you have promised and raised us. For all our beloved death to new life. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and answer us, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We invite you now to share with the peace of Christ with those around you. I invite you all now to stand as we prepare for this meal.
Let us give.
witnesses, give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God. You are most holy, and great is the majesty of your glory. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and the Holy Spirit, to bless us, your servants, with these your own gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Gathered together as one, let us pray as our Savior taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. This is the feast of God for the people of God, and all are welcome to this table. In a minute, the usher will come and ask you to form one line, to come with your hands folded together and outstretched and receive the element in your hand. And then come to the tray with the wine, the red liquid is wine, the lighter liquid is grape juice. We have a prayer, our side altar can be used for prayer. If you wish, just kind of snag behind us and come to the side altar in a way that allows for movement for the other congregation members back to their seats.
If you wish to just come for a blessing, come with your arms crossed, but know that this table is for us all, and all are welcome here. Amen.
Oh,
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. We thank you, generous God, for the refreshments we have received at your banquet table. Send us now to spread your generosity into all the world through the one who is our dearest treasure, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Now we pause now for any announcements for the good of our community. If you have any announcements, raise your hand and Arnie will bring bringing the microphone for you.
We have two samples of baseball hats out on the counter. They're $10. You need to know if you want the solid or the mesh, and the greeters will take your name and your choice and their and your money. And the more we order, the less they cost. The little bit extra we will put into the outreach fund, and we get the word out that we are Atonement Lutheran and we are here to love you and love you all.
Halfway between the two, you have to make a decision.
I'm just going to go right ahead. I'm not paying for it. I'm using my teacher voice. I'm going to refer you to the Waves, the June Waves, front page billing. Our first barbecue for the summer will be June 28th on Wednesday at 6 p.m. And this year we're opening it up to potluck, except for the meat, which will be hamburgers and hot dogs, kind of traditional for the first time. And then we'll also furnish beverages. So you bring a dish to share, no need to sign up. You can just come, bring families, friends, have a desire for fellowship. It should be fun, and it will be indoors downstairs, so it will not be weather dependent. So there'll be two remaining barbecues, Wednesday, July 26th, and Wednesday, August 23rd. So hope to see you there on June 28th.
Exciting things happening on July 1st, Saturday, at 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll be hosting a hike at Yacona Nature Preserve, south of the bridge. You can sign up on the sign-up sheet and see me if you have any questions about details, and I'll describe it a little bit more later on, and we'll probably have some notices in the WOW. That night at 7:30, the Trio Musicorum Medicorum, which we all know, we'll be performing a concert of classical music at the Dorfler Theater. Because they have to pay for the theater, admission now is $25. They've been playing at Atonement for free, but they have to pay for the expense of the theater. It'll be a wonderful concert. And then on that Sunday morning, Rebecca Reese, my sister, and Andrew Bonner, her husband, who's the piano player for the trio, Becky plays the cello, will join us at Atonement and will play some special music. So I hope you can all join us and have a wonderful weekend on July 1st and 2nd.
Do we have any more for the good of the order? I would invite you all to Thursdays at 1 p.m. meeting here. We're going to go on a beach walk. We might be rotating where we go, but we will start here at 1 p.m. Thursday. If you want to go for a walk with the pastor, if you have a friend who you want to introduce the pastor in a fun and non-threatening way as a beach walk, then this is a good opportunity. I will figure out whoever is here, and then we will go to the beach at 1 p.m. You are all invited to that. With that being said, and I can't remember any more announcements, let us prepare our hearts for our benediction. The God who calls across the cosmos and speaks in the smallest seed, bless, keep, and sustain you now and unto the end of the age.
Amen. Amen.
who